Good morning, friends. Good morning. These songs that we've been singing have wonderfully been preparing our hearts for opening this treasure chest, this wonderful chest of jewels that I want you to turn to this morning. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. As you look at Romans 12, there are so many jewels in this chapter. Last week, we looked at one of them. All of these jewels have to do with the Lordship of Christ in our lives. And last week, we looked at verse 1, which says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And we talked about Christ's lordship of my body. If you were here last week, you'll recall that I was speaking to just a select group here, only people with bodies. And we discovered that most everybody fit into that category. And so that message was for all of us. And it still is today. It looks like we got a lot of bodies here today. Now, my next question is this. Do we have their minds as well? Look at verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want you to think with me this morning about Christ's lordship of my mind. I would like for you now to take your, by the way, you could call this a hymn book, couldn't you? This book all about Him. From Genesis to Revelation is all about Jesus. But I'd like for you to take the other hymn book. Would you do that? And I'd like you to turn to number 674. It's a scripture reading you will find towards the back of your hymn book. And in the King James translation, I would like for us to read this because this is a good portion of Romans chapter 12. And I'd like you to see the whole picture and how this fits, this verse fits into the whole context of it all. You see, the book of Romans, the first part, the first 11 chapters, have basically to do with doctrinal issues, the great truths that we must believe, especially about salvation, how all of us are sinners, and Jesus came to be our Savior, and we become justified, and He sanctifies us, and He's going to glorify us. Aren't you excited about that? That's the wonderful story of salvation. But when we come to chapter 12, we are now looking, and chapters following to the end of the book, with practical matters. Doctrine, truth, God's truth, leads to a lifestyle, the way I put it into practice in my life. And so here we get very practical now when we come to Romans chapter 12. I'd like you to get excited about Romans 12. And before we look especially at verse 2, I want you to see the whole context. And as you've got your hymn books open now to number 674, you will see that these passages here all come from this chapter, Romans 12. And I'd like you to read the bold print, and I'll read the lighter print, and so we will have a responsive reading. And this is God's Word, even though you find it in a hymn book. Is that all right? And we're doing this so that all of us have the same good old translation here. I'd like you to stand with me as we pay honor to our God and to this wonderful Word that He has given to us. Let me begin reading, and then you'll read in the bold print. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, now here we are talking about what it means to be practical about all this wonderful doctrine that Paul has taught us here. So here's the therefore. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, thank you for being so practical with us. And help us now to understand and to apply these glorious truths into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, friends. You may be seated. Now I'd like you to do one more reading with me. You see it already on the screen, so we focus our minds on this whole theme of Christ's lordship of my mind. And will you say Romans 12:2 with me together? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Christ's lordship of my mind. And this next slide, I want you to see some definitions, and you might like to write this into your notes so you get a grasp of this. When we talk about mind, we're talking about that in you which is responsible for your thoughts and feelings. It's something that can't be seen, but it's there. It's part of the real you, the soul. You remember we said last week, C.S. Lewis said, you do not have a soul. And some people sat up and said, what did you say? You do not have a soul. You are a soul, and you have a body. Interesting, isn't it? And that unseen part of us, our mind is part of that. But now there's another definition here, and that is the brain. But how many of you have seen your brain? Isn't that amazing? You just assume you have one. Probably in this cranium is about 3 pounds of pudding-like material that back in hundreds of years ago, the Greeks thought that it was kind of like a radiator to cool off the blood. But no, it's much more than that, isn't it? The brain actually is an amazing computer. And now we understand that better in this generation than ever before because most of us work with computers. But that's what your brain really is the computer which the mind uses. And but we're talking now about the mind which controls or plays or uses this computer. You can will to determine what you're going to think about, can't you? And I want you to think with me about Christ's lordship of the mind, which uses the computer, which is the brain. And there are five different main things that I want you to think with me about today. First of all, the wonder of this human mind. It's really what's called, it's the seat of the reflective consciousness, to be able to think, to know, to reason, to understand, to discern, to be able to judge, to make judgments. And every day you use your mind to do that. And what an amazing thing it is. You see, God does this too. God has an amazing mind. In fact, if we were to read it in chapter 11, just a couple of verses before, in verse 34, what does it say? Who has known the mind of the Lord? What a mind! Infinite in his capacity to understand and know all things. Jesus said he even knows how many hairs are on your head. I'm looking around. It's easier for some than others. But God knows everything. God knows how many trillion cells there are in your body. He knows the composition of every one of them. He reads the DNA in every one of them. Isn't that amazing? God knows everything. Who can comprehend the mind of the Lord? But you and I have been made in the image of God, and He has given to us not an infinite mind, a finite mind, but an amazing mind that allows us to consciously be in fellowship with Him, to know Him, to commune with Him, to understand some of the wonders of who He is. Would you like to say thank God for your mind today? Thank you, Lord. By the way, there are so many things to thank God about in your own physical being, aren't there? How many of you have given thanks to God this morning for the moisture around your eyeballs? Now, if you didn't have that, you'd be pretty scratchy this morning, wouldn't you? Thank God for that. Just so many millions of things to thank God for that He's built into you. But now we're especially thinking about the mind, this amazing gift. And we're talking about Christ's lordship of this mind, this amazing, wonderful mind. Did you realize that there are between 10 and 11 billions of cells in that 3 pounds of pudding that you got in your head? And did you realize that they mysteriously regulate the body and so that you are able to learn from life's experiences and to able to summon up memories? Have you got a good hard drive? Think of all the experiences you've had through your lifetime. And creases have been placed, connections have been made in this amazing thing called the brain that your mind uses so that your mind can recall. And in fact, computers today have, scientists have learned how to make computers because they first studied the brain to see how it connects and all the rest. The mind leads the body, and your mind is a tool of your will and of your desires. Isn't it amazing? You who are students, and a number of you are in school at various levels of study, but you can will your mind to use your brain to study French or math or history or science or art or music, and it goes on and on. And athletes, those of you who are athletic, you can will your mind into directing your body to think sports. And I, 3 times a week, and Adrian the same, we try to will our minds to think swim. And she swims 1 kilometer 3 times a week. And then while she goes and fixes her hair, I do a 2nd kilometer each time. So that's 6 kilometers. But I have to will my mind to be willing to do that. But the mind is an amazing thing that is involved with our wills to for instance, I could say, how would you like to make a trip, by the way, right now to Florida?
Amen.
Thank you. All right, let's all get on board, fasten your seat belts. I just mentioned the word Florida, and immediately your mind was there. But let me just say North Pole. Boom, you immediately just, isn't that amazing how quickly the mind can travel from one place to another? And the power, but that's an act of your will to do that. And God, who created you in His image, and He who has a mind has given you a mind, and He wants you to use it under the lordship of Jesus Christ. But we've got a big problem, and I want you to think about that. The problem of the warped mind. Think of this. When God gave Adam and Eve their bodies and their minds in the Garden of Eden, He also gave them some instructions, so much freedom, but only one thing don't you dare do, and that is eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you remember the rest of the story. In spite of the fact that they understood God's command, they willfully disobeyed anyway, didn't they? God put them on a probation to allow them to choose whether or not from their hearts and their minds to love the Lord with all their hearts and minds or to disobey. Because God didn't want us to be just robots. He could have made us that way so we'd always just do the right thing all the time. But He was looking for lovers who love from the heart and from a mind that's totally devoted to His lordship. And as a result, we know the rest of the story. Not only did Adam and Eve fall from their wonderful standing of innocence before the Lord, but they immediately became sinners, and immediately death set in. Death is separation, and immediately they became separated from God, spiritual death, and physical death began to set in. And eventually they died. And the same thing has happened to their children and their children and their children and their children. How many of you are related to the Adamses? Let me see. How many of you? Several of you are. If you aren't, maybe you're from outer space. We welcome you here as well. Glad to have you here. But I want you to know that all of us are related to the Adams family. And all of us have now a sinful nature. And as a result, we each now, though, because of God's amazing grace that Paul talks about from Romans chapter 1 through 11, and provides this glorious salvation. Now we who by our wills exercise our minds to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, and many of you have done that, haven't you? And I did that years ago, but what I've discovered is that Jim Reese needs to renew that every day, and not just every day, but every moment of every day. Lord, I am yours. I'm completely yours. I want to consciously be aware of that, and I want to live under the lordship of Jesus Christ in my life today. And that calls for the focus of the mind. But we've got a problem. It's a warped mind. And it wasn't long before Adam and Eve, who disobeyed, had a child by the name of Cain, and he became a murderer. Can you imagine that? How deep can you fall immediately? And that's what happened. And all of us are helpless sinners. Apart from the grace of God, we have no hope at all. The warped mind, and everybody has a warped mind, actually. As nice as you may appear on the outside, every one of us was born with a warped mind, warped by sin, the sin nature. And Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, tells about how the condition spiritually of the world in Noah's day. Here's what that verse says. Genesis 6:5 says, "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil all the time, continually." And the result is that it's so easy then to be conformed to this world, isn't it? You notice our text, what did it say? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This conformity to the world, it's interesting, some of the newer translations or paraphrases of this maybe help us to understand that even a little better. For instance, Ken Taylor in the Living Bible says this, in translating, do not be conformed to this world. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. J.B. Phillips says it this way, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. When we were raising our kids, we had Play-Doh in our house. Play-Doh's interesting stuff. And one Christmas, one of the family members, I don't know if it was grandpa's or whoever it was, but gave our kids a little machine, a little mold press. So you could take the Play-Doh, put it into these molds, and then bring this handle down, and you could end up with a lion or some other kind of an animal or some other creature, something like cookie cutters to make out of the dough, and you make a star or a gingerbread man or something like that. And what this scripture is saying is that this pressure from the society in which we're living in can so control our minds that we just begin to look like and act like the society around us. And every one of us in this room is continually under that pressure all the time. And Paul says, because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross in giving us a brand new life, we do not need to be conformed, pressed into the mold that the world would like to put on us. But these warped minds are going to go that direction. To be conformed means to allow the pressure from the outside to control us. But notice what he says here, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's not outside pressure. That's the inside pressure of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you've invited to be your Savior. He now lives inside. The Holy Spirit has now come to live in you, and now He is able to transform you from the inside out. That's why Christians are different. That's why as we live in this world and walk through this society, people say, there's something different about you. I hope people sense that in your life. I hope your neighbors are noticing that. Notice that's the third thing that I'd like you to see here, is the potential for transforming this warped mind, and it's to be transformed, changed. If you were to see the actual word that we have here, it's the word in the Greek, metamorphosis. And you've studied that word, haven't you, in school? Metamorphosis. And maybe you've studied butterflies, and you realize that butterflies first started out as worms, caterpillars, just groveling in the dust, but they end up as butterflies flying in the sky. What a change! That's called metamorphosis. And there's a cocoon stage in which that change takes place from being a creepy crawly to being a flyer. With all the beauty that God's built into those amazing little animals. Some of you maybe visited the butterfly sanctuary not far away from here, and we've been there a couple of times taking our grandchildren there. And what an amazing transformation. And God put butterflies into our world to help you and me understand a little bit of what God does with human beings when they receive Jesus as Savior and become transformed, changed, totally changed, miraculously changed by the power of God. And what Paul is saying here is, do not be conformed to this world. Don't let its pressures shape you to be what the world wants you to be, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So this transformation is a marvelous thing, that it's a miracle that God can do, and He wants to do that in your life and mine. And it's possible, though, for those of us who name the name of Christ to still act and look like the rest of the society around us. May I ask a question? Do the people that you work with, or the people that you go to school with, or the neighbors that live near you, have they sensed that there's a difference in you? May they soon, if they haven't already. And may that change also give them a hunger to want to be changed as well. And God help us to want to be transformed. How is this done? And notice this as well. What's the means for transforming the mind? The means for transforming our warped minds is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's possible for every one of us here who loves the Lord and say, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus, yet to let our minds grovel in a gutter. Every one of us has to deal with this every moment of every day. But instead of that, by an act of our will to say, my mind, see, God holds me responsible for what I think, as well as what I do and what I say. Jesus said that in the Sermon on the Mount. We were studying that in Sunday school this morning, weren't we, Daryl? That I may not take a gun and shoot somebody, but if I can have murderous thoughts in my heart, and that makes me just like a murderer. Or I may not be engaged in an act of adultery, but my mind can be so engaged, and Jesus called that adultery. And He's talking to all of us. He's talking to me. Hey, Jim Reese, you are responsible for what you think. Years ago, there was a song on the hit parade that most of you are too young to remember. But it was entitled, Standing on the Corner, Watching All the Girls Go By. And there's one line in that song that says, there's no law in what you think, but there is. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, I'm looking at a whole bunch of bodies here, and you are the sum total of what you've been eating for a while. You had some pretty good meals, haven't you? But down deep inside of you, the mind is the sum total of what you've been allowing yourself to think. This is one of the great dangers of pornography, for instance. If a man or a woman allows one's mind to go there, to think those thoughts, to meditate there, the more and more you do that, the more and more your mind is captivated, and the more you become that, and the more potential there is for those thoughts to become actions. All of the immoral acts that people do didn't just happen like that. They first started here in the mind. And by an act of the will, a person says, I'm willing to think those evil thoughts. And as a result of meditating there, actions flow out of those thoughts. But what we discover here is the means for transforming that warped mind is the work of the Holy Spirit that we allow Him to do in our minds. And may I suggest to you that one of the best ways to keep yourself from sin is to get yourself into this book. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man or an old man or a woman or a girl or a boy, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to your word. Oh, the power of the word. I'm sure that many of you here, knowing this congregation, as Adrian and I are getting to know you, we're just sensing God's got a bunch of saints here. It's wonderful to be in fellowship with you. And I'm sensing that a lot of you have, through the years, been already ministering to your mind by willfully saying, I'm going to think God's thoughts. I'm going to use this computer here, and I'm going to input the Word of God. For instance, I have a friend that I didn't know before we came here last month. His name is Jamie Nayak. Hi, Jamie. I didn't tell you I was going to talk to you this morning, did I? But I was thinking about this before this message today. Jamie took Adrian and me to lunch the other day, and we got to know how this guy thinks. 20 or so years ago, until then, he was a Hindu. And Hindus worship up to 700 million gods. Can you imagine that? But the Lord marvelously saved this man. And now he worships the one true and living God. And Jamie, you told me that you have been committing yourself to memorizing Scripture through these years. Would you mind just standing up for a moment? I'm not really picking on you, but I want to glorify God through your life. If you just kind of turn so people can look at you, and I'm going to hold this here. I'd like to tell them, you told me some of the passages of Scripture that you have memorized. Yeah, yeah. What Scriptures have you memorized?
Psalm 1, Psalm 5, Psalm 19, Psalm 23, Psalm 27, Psalm 32, 34, 40, 51, 63, 67, 86, 91, 95, 96, 100, 103, 104, 105, 116, 117, 119, 35 verses. There are 175 verses. The Lord led me to memorize 35 verses. Yes. And then 121, 139, 145, 148, 150.
Wonderful.
You want me to recite something?
Would you? Yeah, just sure. Amen. Prove to us that you actually did.
Okay. Psalm 91 is the best one.
Okay, go ahead.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers. Under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High your habitation. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come to your dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over you to keep in all your ways. You shall call upon the Lord, He will answer you, He will save you. He shall give His angels charge over you to keep in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample under feet, because He has set His love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, deliver him, honor him. With long life I will satisfy him. Show Amen. Him my salvation.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, we can come back and take a whole service. You just quoting Scripture. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And I think you also told me that you have made it a goal to memorize 4 verses from each of the 66
books.
Yeah. Of all 66.
I can say
and you've got them all memorized too?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, praise the Lord. That's great. When Adrian and I were in a Christian university down in Tennessee, I began to notice this young lady, and I got thinking, my, she'd maybe make a good lifetime partner. And as those thoughts were going in my mind, we finally I went to a concert, and then I decided it'd be nice to have a little more time with her. And we had no idea how our friendship might go. But we said, you know, we don't want to have any regrets about this relationship. But no matter how the Lord may lead in the future, I hope we can look back on this time of friendship as being meaningful in a time of growing in the Lord. And so I suggested, why don't we memorize Scripture together? And so we chose Psalm 86. That's one of the passages you memorize, isn't it? Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. And on and on. And so when we would get together after the evening meals and take a walk around the triangle on this beautiful campus, we'd quote the verse for that day, and we'd repeat the verses preceding, and that's how we memorized Psalm 86. And that's how I got to know her. I got to find out that she is thinking God's thoughts. I liked not only how she looked, but how she thought. I said, that gal's got a mind that's disciplined to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And then we went on and we memorized John chapter 15. Then we memorized Proverbs chapter 3. Then we memorized Romans 12. Then we memorized Isaiah 40. Then we memorized Colossians 3 and 1 John 3 and so on. And that's how our friendship developed. Now, I'm just throwing that out to tell you this, that whatever way you sense the Lord leading you, may I encourage you to memorize Scripture. And I would suggest that you choose a passage of Scripture, a portion or a whole of a chapter, and just allow that to just soak into your system until it just comes so easily. And then God can use that to bring to your memory what you need when you need it. For instance, as we mentioned a testimony of a few weeks ago about God giving to us our son Stephen, and the day he was born, God brought to my memory Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's just what I needed. And Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would bring to our remembrance the thing, but you can't bring to your remembrance things that you haven't already put in your remembrance. Can't be remembrance, can it? Until it's already there. So may I encourage you to live in the Scriptures. That's the means for the transforming of the warped mind. Well, may I just conclude by talking to you about the results of the warp, of the transformed mind. Now, here it's the transformed mind. And then you will be able, what does it say here? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you want to know the will of God for your life, and I hope every one of you does, because God has a glorious plan for you. It's wonderful to say this to young people and say, did you realize that 10 years from now, where are you going to be? 10 years from now, what are you going to be doing? And young people, especially those who are teenagers, and most of our teenagers are in another meeting right now where Pastor Aaron is teaching and preaching to them right now. But I say to them, you know, in these next 10 years, you don't know where you're going to be, what you're going to be doing. The one thing you know is for every one of us, 10 years from now, you're going to be 10 years older than you are now. Ooh, hey. If you're a teenager now, say 16, 17, 18, do you realize you're going to be the ancient age of 26, 27, 28? But many young people by then have made the greatest decisions of their lives that set the framework for how their life's going to go, such as how much education am I going to get? What's my life vocation going to be? And many have also made the decision, who will my life partner be? And oh, how beautiful it is to make those decisions with a mind that's renewed, transformed, so that you may know what? What God's will is, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I can guarantee this to you by the Word of God, that if you will let your mind be controlled continually by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of the Lord, He's going to guide you down an interesting trip of life, different from anybody else. Just like every snowflake that fell yesterday, we had a lot of them last yesterday, didn't we? Every one of those snowflakes is different from the other. And this congregation, every one of us is different from the other. And there are no two lives that are exactly the same. Why? Because God loves variety. And He loves to allow His grace to be seen in all of the facets of the rainbow of the colors of His grace. And your life is going to be different from anybody else. But it's going to be beautiful and meaningful and fulfilling. If you say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I want my heart and my life, my mind to be totally controlled by You. Christ's lordship of my mind." Would you notice this, by the way? This next slide says, "I am responsible for my thoughts." Yes, I'm responsible. God holds me accountable, and someday I'm going to have to give an account to my thoughts before the Lord. And so we need to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. How would you like to do a safari and capture a wild animal, like a lion out there in Africa? Wouldn't that be something? Well, I've got something even bigger for you to capture than a lion, and that is the thoughts of your mind. That's what the Apostle Paul says. Would you say that verse with me that you see in green before you? We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So are you willing to go on that safari with me? I hope you are. And how do you do that? Well, let me just suggest three things. Flush your mind of self-centeredness. Cleanse your mind from everything that is sinful. Secondly, fill your mind with God's Word, just like our brother Jamie does. And then thirdly, expose yourself to godly influences. That's one of the reasons why it's so important to be in church on a regular basis. The influence of Christian fellowship and under the sound of the teaching of God's Word. And I'd like for you now to quote with me just before the worship team comes to lead us in a wonderful song of dedication. I have decided to follow Jesus. We're going to sing in just a moment. But would you quote this next verse with me? This is the last slide. Would you say these words with me? This is Psalm 19 and verse 14. Would you use a big voice as you see this so that you're just your heart and your mind, your whole body is resonating with this? Let's say it together. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Just as we sing and team, you can come right now while I'm closing up here. I first heard this song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, when I was just a kid. The Second World War was still on. And a missionary from China came to our church in Michigan where my dad was pastor. And I heard him teach us this song. That's how I first learned it. And he said that when the enemy came in to his community where he was encouraging this group of believers, they came into the very building where they were meeting, and they ordered them all to get in line and march out to a hole that had been dug as a common grave. And they said, if you will deny Jesus Christ, you can step out of line and you will not be shot and buried in that grave. He said he watched as his fellow believers walked, and because he was a U.S. person for some reason and not a Chinese, they allowed him to live. But he watched as his fellow believers walked in single file to that grave where they were then shot and buried. And as they walked, they sang this song. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Now, I don't see anybody there standing at the door with rifles calling us to go out there. But as we sing this, can I invite you to have the same total heart commitment? Yes, I have decided to follow Jesus and no turning back. Let's sing it together.